Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to another episode of Everyday Truth. We're in the book of Luke currently, and we've called this series the Facts Behind Our Faith, because faith is not a stab in the dark. Faith is something predicated upon the very veracity of God's word and the very power of his character. So faith is a really good decision to trust him. So we've been talking through the book of Luke. We're in a section where the disciples have declared him to be Messiah. Caleb, by the way, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm just trying to catch up to Hannah's podcast number.
That's right, and you've got a ways to go. But we've learned that the disciples now know, they've affirmed that Jesus is Messiah, and Jesus is in a time of clarifying. He's clarifying who Messiah is. It's not to say that he's changing the definition of Messiah, because the Old Testament told us all about the suffering servant, but the Jews had somehow missed that. And they saw the parts of the Bible they wanted to see, the parts about Messiah being a ruler and freeing them and liberating them. And sometimes that's the way we look at the Bible. Yeah, we see what we want to see. We see what's beneficial to us. So Jesus is in a time of clarifying, who am I? And therefore, because you find your identity in me, who are you? Who am I? And who are you?
Yeah.
So last episode, we talked about Jesus, who am I? I'm the suffering servant. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. That's the gospel. So my life is all about my gospel mission. So now we are in Luke 9, verse 23, where Jesus said, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Wow. Strong, strong words by the Lord Jesus. Give us a thought, Caleb.
Yeah, no, it just jumps out to me. You know, just thinking about putting myself in the shoes of the disciples, how Jesus describes, you know, the true cost of discipleship. And I think it's, you know, when you look at it, you know, if I was one of the disciples, you know, as we talked before, they had this preconceived notion that, you know, it's just going to be Jesus is going to rule and reign forever. We're here on earth. He's going to throw off Roman oppression. And he's trying to get them to clarify who he actually is. And he says, look, if you're going to be following me, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have, you know, he uses, you know, you're going to have to take up your cross daily. And we start to see that it really is a true sacrifice, and there's a cost that comes at it. It's not always just an amazing life, but there is a daily sacrifice, a daily dedication. And, you know, it's almost as if, you know, just like anything else, if you're going to be good at something, if you're going to progress in the Christian life, there's going to be a grind to the Christian life. There's going to be those days that you're going to have to get up and day after day, deny yourself, deny, you know, living for yourself, deny those sins that we're so apt to do. And there's a lot that goes into it. And I think sometimes we just think the Christian life, or we expect the Christian life, especially when it comes to things like ministry, that it's always going to be.
There's a fallacy, isn't there?
Yeah.
And the fallacy is that somehow when you get saved, when you trust Christ as your Savior, that all of a sudden your flesh gets saved too.
Yeah.
You know, and your flesh just kind of wakes up earlier now, and you just feel more energetic now about the things of God now. Mm-hmm. But that's not it at all. You know, there's always going to be that battle of fighting yourself. We wrestle against the devil, mm-hmm. this world system, and our own selves, the enemies of the believer. So let's break down these, as you said, these requisites for discipleship. So if any man will come after me, so a couple things there. First of all, it's my choice. If you will come after me. So Jesus is giving every believer a choice. Will you come after him? Will you follow the footsteps of Jesus? If you will, here's what it's going to look like. Number one, you're going to deny yourself. And how different is that, Caleb, than what every advertiser, every proponent of the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel will tell you? You know, they would tell you that, no, following Jesus is, you know, your best life today, and you're going to be full of material blessings, and, you know, obey your thirst and do what you want to do. This is not the Bible message of discipleship.
Right. And that's not the reality of the Christian life. And, you know, if you're ever going to do anything for Jesus, you're going to face opposition. And it starts, like you said, it starts with your flesh. And you're gonna have to fight yourself every day, the natural inclinations of the flesh, to not want to get up and to invest in that person, not to want to get up and to be kind to your family, or, you know, not to want to get up and to put in the hours you need to in order to study that for that message, even though you're tired. You know, there's all those things that you naturally don't want to do. And just because we're saved, doesn't mean that we're automatically going to have this unbelievable urge and power at all times to accomplish all these things. No, it takes that, you know, that personal denial and sacrifice.
And it's not just a matter of self-effort, my friends. It's not just, well, you know, just try harder and now you've got this character other people don't have. The point is, we're coming after him. So it's Christ that provides the example, and it's Christ that provides the power. It's only by his Spirit. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by his Spirit. So as we come after Christ, we're relying upon him. We're relying upon his enabling grace. So we're coming after him and denying ourselves. I mean, Jesus set the great example. It's not my will, but thine be done. So even Jesus lived the life of not what I want, but what my Father wants. So Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, then you're going to have to live a life of the greater good. What is the will of God? In spite of what I want to do. And again, that's not something we're going to be able to muster up in our flesh. That's going to be a yieldedness to his Spirit and the work of grace in our life as we do yield. So deny yourself. And then the Bible says a very curious component here to discipleship: take up your cross daily. So remember, Caleb, when Jesus said this, they didn't know he would be crucified on a cross. But they knew what a cross was. Everybody knew the horror of that Roman form of execution, a cross. And to take up a cross was when a prisoner was making his final march to execution. He was submitting to the indictment made against him. They would put the crime on the top of the cross, nail it to the cross, the top of the cross, and then you would take up your cross and carry it to the place of execution, as if to say, I'm submitting to the rule of law over me. So Jesus said, take up your cross. That would be something nobody would want to do one time in a lifetime. And yet Jesus now uses it illustratively to say, do this every day. So help us with that. Take up your cross daily.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when it comes to life, you know, we might, you know, whatever stage of life you're in, whatever it might be that you're struggling with on a day-to-day basis, Sometimes we think that when it comes to either a sin of commission or omission or whatever it is that we're struggling with, that it's a one-time fight. Or, you know, hey, I made this decision
at this revival meeting, right, or whatever.
Right. Or I committed myself, or I wrote it down in my Bible. And so therefore, you know, I had the victory tonight. And yes, you won a great victory in that moment. But the war continues. You might have won the battle, but there's still the war to fight. And it's every day we have to take stock of, you know, what we're up against. And every day we, you know, when we declare to our, you know, to God where we stand, you know, the devil takes note of that. And that opposition is going to come quickly. And the devil's not going to give up after one little fight. He's going to go every day. And so every day we have to consider the cost of taking up our cross.
The cross was shameful.
Mm-hmm.
People were stripped of their clothes. They were beaten mercilessly. So take up the cross daily is I am submitting daily mm-hmm. to the authority in my life. I am willing to bear the stigma and the shame, the ridicule, the misunderstanding of following the Lord. And every day, as you said a moment ago, I recommit to that decision. It's this every day. Paul said it this way, I die daily. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we're getting at. So following Christ is denial. It's taking up one's cross daily, but ultimately it's following him. And that's the incentive. Mm-hmm. The incentive is God. Jesus is not sending us somewhere. He's leading us somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference there. It's not like, okay, this life is you don't get to do what you want to do, and everything you will do will be hard and painful. Yeah. That doesn't sound like the abundant life, and yet it is, because it's the Christ life, and he does that work on the inside, the unspeakable joy and the inexplicable peace that comes by following Christ, and the power that we share in his resurrection power. So it's the way we look at it, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. And I like what you said. It's the incentive, because those first two seem pretty bleak. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, you have to sacrifice, you have to deny yourself, you have to take up the cross. Why would I do that? Because the incentive is that I'm drawing closer to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So the follow-up Jesus gives to help them to understand this is, well, losing your life is really preserving it, saving it. Mm-hmm. And saving your life is really losing it. So think about that from a financial perspective. So if I take this money and decide I'm going to lose it from the standpoint of I'm not going to spend it right now, I'm not going to use it for me, I'm going to put it in this savings account. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put it in this investment account. Well, what if I lose it there? You know, in other words, I'm not going to spend it. I lose its value to me now.
Yeah.
It's going to reap exponential benefit for the future, compound interest, right? Yeah. Because I've lost it now, boy, I've saved it times 10 for the future. But if I save it now, you know, I'm going to go out and buy that ice cream. I'm going to go out and buy that whatever. Yeah, I've saved it for myself now, but I've lost it forever.
Yeah.
So the point is that the life of discipleship is a life of investment. Mm-hmm. So these verses are not verses that deal with what's a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? Come and be saved today. I think that's a good message. That's just not what these verses are talking about.
Right.
What these verses are talking about is discipleship, that a life that now that we're saved, the life that matters, the life that will count for eternity, is a life that's invested in Jesus and following him.
Right. Yeah. And it's so contrary to what we are, what society screams at us today. It's all about, you know, in the moment, whatever, you know, whatever is good, whatever is going to make you happy, whatever is going to, to please you. But we as Christians need to take stock of in that moment saying, hey, you know, what is going to pay off in the long term? I've got to think of it. I got to think about eternity over the temporary, and I got to see the investment.
No, for sure. And then the final incentive that Jesus comes back to is one of shame, which was huge in Eastern culture. And we don't understand it as well in Western culture, but the idea of we do what we do because we love Jesus and we're not ashamed of him. So the best incentive for self-denial, the best incentive for cross-bearing, the best incentive for fellowship and investing my life for eternity is Jesus. I want to be identified with him. Mm-hmm. That's the mark of true discipleship. If we truly believe who Jesus is, if we truly believe in his coming, if we truly believe in his identity and authority, then we're not going to be ashamed of him. And so let me leave that with you today, my friends. Don't be ashamed of him. The life of confidence and the life that is unashamed is a life that denies oneself, takes up his cross, and follows Jesus. I hope you'll do that today, my friends. God bless you.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.